If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, folks, we are back with the WOW, the Woody Overton window. It's Mike Agovino here with Woody Overton for episode number 16, Friday, August the 2nd. Hey, Woody.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am good. You are looking good this morning, welcoming the month of August.
Right. The year's almost over, almost. Yeah. Got the Hall of Fame game tonight. Not that anybody watches that shit.
Well, I have been paying close attention because my Giants have been the Hard Knocks off-season team, so they've never done that with the Giants.
Yeah, I watched every episode. It's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It's pretty sad for me watching the Saquon stuff because it's one thing when you get rid of when you lose a great player, but when they go to your direct rival, I mean, ugh.
Yeah,
and it's like losing the LSU quarterback to Alabama.
But I guess,
I mean, it hurts.
Right. Yeah. Well, and who did they get to replace him?
They got Singletary. It wasn't a trade. It was they got guy's a good back. Been around, but I think he was on the Bears most of his career. No, they got a good running back, and it's just amazing to see in football the valuations by position, the salaries that different positions draw in NFL today versus what they did 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And nothing's been more devalued than the running back position. These guys have really short careers. They get injured a lot. They're tremendous athletes. And when you look at what they are getting paid versus what wide receivers, quarterbacks, tackles, great defensive players are getting paid, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And in keeping with the sports theme, we're going to talk about some Olympics, right?
We are. So have you been watching Team USA?
I have not seen not one.
How did I know we were going to come into today's episode and you not have watched much? Well, you know what? You're going to get a great update then.
All right.
Because we got all things Olympics going on. So let's start at the beginning. I don't know if you know this, but the very first day, the day of the opening ceremony, there were a series of arson attacks on the rail line, the main rail line coming into Paris. Luckily, nobody was seriously hurt from what I understand. And so, you know, we had that, and then we had the craziness of the opening ceremony. So if you haven't watched, have you read anything about the Last Supper?
Yeah.
And how, okay. So you've
read about it. I mean, it's whatever people express themselves, how they want to express themselves, I guess.
It seems, and I'm couching my words because we don't really know everything yet, but all signals point to this being such a huge production with so many people involved in so many different locations, because the boats were going along the Seine River and you had all of these different spots along the river where mini productions were being held, that a lot of autonomy was granted to individual production crews. And it seems like this particular crew kind of went rogue on the Olympic Committee and the organizers and sort of did their own thing and maybe got some folks higher up to believe what they were doing was actually a play on some Greek mythology when it clearly wasn't. And at first they tried to sort of hide that in their social media and, you know, get the word out, trying to contradict the narrative that had already launched. But basically they folded their cards and have all but admitted what went on. And so, yes, we had a very wacky beginning with some of the performances, but also the announcers. I mean, when I think of the Olympic Games, you think of, you know, people like Jim McKay and Bob Costas and Matt Lauer. And I'm thinking of all these people, NBC over the years that did the games. And the opening ceremony was, well, first of all, Mike Tirico, who's terrific. He's as good as anybody out there today and a pro's pro. But they chose the combination of Peyton Manning and Kelly Clarkson to describe the opening ceremonies with all these performances and all of these boats coming down the river. And Peyton Manning couldn't possibly have been further out of his element. It's just weird.
I watched part of that on the boat stuff because I like to watch like the little boats with two people on it and shit like that. And then I thought it was Peyton Manning. I'm like, what the fuck is Peyton Manning doing calling the Olympics, right? I mean, he was like, not even close. Yeah, that was horrible, actually. I mean, I like Peyton Manning. Yeah, I think that was just a fuck up on their part.
Well,
you know, he's a executive director of a lot of these shows now, like The Receivers and all that. He's putting out some good shit.
No, the Omaha production company is a big deal. Look, I wanted to do a show with Cooper, right, down here, and they have a common agent. And after a couple conversations with the agent basically said, look, if anyone in the family is going to do anything in the podcast space, they're going to do it under Omaha Productions and do it under Peyton. So there's right, not really anything to talk about, even though right, Coop was very open to doing that. But I think that same group that's managing Peyton needs to put him in situations that are the right situations for him, and everything can't be about a buck. I mean, you're so wealthy at this point. Does it really matter? Like, he took the money from Bud Light and did a Bud Light deal earlier this year. Right? Yeah. Okay, but then to say yes to coming to Paris and to be a commentator on something that he can't possibly know a lot about, and he didn't from what they did. So I thought that was just really weird. They also had Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live. You know who he is? The one that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and he's in French Polynesia where they're doing the surfing, and he gets his toes all cut up on coral, and then he's standing doing a report, and a producer comes running at him, telling him to get out of there, that the day prior, correspondents from other networks were, I don't know if you get bit or you get stung by a stonefish, but but they got poisoned very badly by stonefish in the area he was in. So clearly a lot of people are sort of out of sorts with what they're doing there. And I found out that for some of these fringe sports, and there are a lot of them, I'll roll through some of them in a minute, NBC announcers are not on premise. They're actually not in Paris for a lot of these events. They're sitting in a studio back in Stamford, Connecticut, calling these events.
Yeah, they want to spend a couple $1,000 on tickets. I mean, just to get them over there. But some of those events are crazy, though. I mean, who knows?
Well, $7.75 billion is what NBC spent on this Olympic contract back in, I think it was 2014, that runs through 2032. So they got a bunch of different winter and summer games out of it for their nearly $8 billion. But if this deep into it, they're forced to put people in production studios in Stamford, Connecticut, it can't be going too well. But in case you didn't know, folks, here are some of the fringe sports, I call them fringe, that are now part of the Olympics. Some have been part of the Olympics for a long time, but it's amazing some of these sports that they are playing. Handball, which is not hitting the ball with your hand. It's sort of like hockey or lacrosse or field hockey, but with a ball that you dribble that's smaller than a basketball. I don't know if you've seen any of it.
Nah.
It's athletic, but God, where the hell did that come from and what country was playing that? Badminton, I guess it's been around. Ping pong, it's been around, but there's been a ton of ping pong coverage. And some of these ping pong players are real characters. Steeplechase, archery. Now you've got men's field hockey. I thought that was exclusively a women's sport, but now we have men's field hockey. Fencing, which is, again, always been around, but gotten a lot of coverage. In fact, we won a gold and silver on the women's side in one of the fencing events. 3-on-3 basketball. So there's not only the big team basketball, there's a separate 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Mm. I didn't know. Now they have golf. This is the third time, I think, that there is Olympic golf.
I saw that. I took Scheffler.
Did you make a bet?
Yeah, I'll Scheffler.
I want to talk to you about some of the Olympic betting and tell you what happened to me early this morning. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. But back in 2020, in Olympics that not that many people watched, they added surfing, skateboarding, and sport climbing. So those are all now sports in the games. And this year, there's one new sport added. Can you guess what that new sport is, Woody?
It blew my mind when I read this. Break dance. You know, I can break dance. Man, I can do all that.
How is that a sport?
That's crazy. But you left out women's. I don't know. You left out women's rugby. I saw something I was looking at this morning, like some girl had black eyes and shit. My rugby's pretty tough. I used to play it, but the women's rugby, I hadn't heard of that.
And some of those women playing are all of them are unbelievably tough. I actually watched almost a full game. I mean, we won, the U.S. won on the very last play of the game. They were losing against Australia, and they won a bronze medal as a result of that play on the last play of the game. But back to breakdancing. If breakdancing is a sport, why isn't every form of dance? I don't get how
ballroom dancing or whatever. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's just trying to get another viewer or something. I mean, fuck! I thought breakdancing died in the '80s.
I can't wait to watch the first breakdancing night of competition. Woody, do you know why I want to learn more Italian?
Why, I go?
Because my niece is getting married next month, and that means a wedding full of these crazy Italians from out of town.
And when it comes to learning a new language, there's only one leader, Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone's the most trusted language learning program, period. Well, I've come a good ways using Rosetta Stone, but it's time to take it to the next level. My niece's wedding will be great prep for a trip I want to take next year.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. No English translations. Rosetta Stone helps you pick up a language naturally. First with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
And the True Accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Lifetime membership has all 25 of the languages for the rest of your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today.
That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 languages for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Do you want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with a subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious, empowers them how to choose to learn. Now, Cindy used IXL in the classroom as a teacher and now uses it to homeschool our youngest son in the ninth grade. The videos are what she finds that benefits him most in math because he's a very visual learner. The perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum, IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational game lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving, and everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. Instant grading, helpful progress reporting, IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Flexible and personalized. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. It's fun for kids, and kids love IXL's positive feedback, awards, and educational games. And it's trustworthy. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/RLRC. So visit IXL.com/RLRC to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. We use it on our son, WL. It's an amazing product, y'all. You can thank me later.
The stars are all there. They've showed in the crowd all kinds of Hollywood folks out there. Tom Cruise, for whatever reason, is there, and they put him on camera once every 5 minutes, and it looks like he's wearing more makeup than that Shikari Richardson is. I mean, he looks like he's still 27. They got so much going on over there. They got Snoop Dogg as a correspondent who just sort of roams around the games. You find him in the stands at different sports, and man, does that what a great gig that guy has.
Yeah, I mean,
and again, for apparently no reason.
Did I ever tell you I was the first person to sell out the Basin Concert Hall, and the person that sold it first out after me was Snoop Dogg. That's because Todd Graves hired him for his personal birthday party. I saw his contract. In his contract, it said that he could smoke weed anywhere on the premises.
What else? What else could he do?
Yeah, well, I didn't pay attention. I was just reading the weed part. I'm like, okay.
But that's so funny.
That's been like 6 years ago. So,
well, he is there as an expert commentator. So, one of the things that I have found most insane about the Olympics is this situation with the Seine River. So I don't know if you've heard about this.
I have not.
Okay, so the Seine River, they had some rains for a few days right before the games began. And so they had some drainage into the river, and the river's E. coli levels went way above what's safe for people to swim in. So as a result, they had to back up all of these events that were to occur actually in the water. The triathlon being one of them, where you start with the race in the water. They had to back it up 2 days, and they finally ran it on, I think, Tuesday. But if you think about, so 3 years ago in Japan, the 2020 Olympics were actually held in 2021 because of the pandemic. It was backed up a year. And then even then, no people in the crowd, everybody wearing masks, social distancing. We've got the healthiest people on planet Earth, the most elite athletes in the world. And all of this is being done to protect them from the flu. And 3 years later, it's okay for everybody to go swim in a river full of shit. Yeah. Are you kidding me? How can they do that?
I have no idea. No mask required.
And nobody is talking about it. I'm sitting here and I'm just thinking, if I'm a triathlete and I haven't seen anything about people backing out, I don't know that anybody has, but I don't know that I want to go swimming in a river that this is the first morning these shit levels have been supposedly low enough to let me swim. That's anyway. Good. I don't know, but that one got. So here are the biggest moments, a quick summary of the biggest moments for Team USA. So we had Simone Biles injure her ankle during the qualifying round, but she's okay and she's back competing. In fact, today will be a big day for her. We won both gold and silver medals in US women's fencing. We won the gold in the 4x100 swim relay, the U.S. men did. The U.S. women's rugby team won that bronze on the last play of the match against Australia that I mentioned. The U.S. women's gymnastics took the all-around gold. I think that was Tuesday night. And you're going to tell us a little story about what's going on when you do your Woody Does Gossip column about the women's gymnastics team. And then the Team USA four-man rowing team just won gold yesterday. And Katie Ledecky won her eighth career Olympic gold medal yesterday in the 1500 meter freestyle. So if you look at the latest up-to-date medal count, the U.S. has won a total of 6 gold medals with the counting the rowing and the Ledecky medal in. And just to give you an idea, Australia's got 7, Japan's got 8, France has 8, China has 11. Now, we do have 31 overall medals, which is first in total medals, ahead of France, which is 2nd, and China, which is 3rd. But in gold medals, we are actually 5th. I bring that up just to compare it how we used to do at these things. And remember, Russia isn't competing in these Olympics. They bailed on these Olympics. And so I went to the last games held in the U.S. Summer Games, which was the 96 games in Atlanta. And the U.S. in those games won 44 gold medals, which was almost double Russia, which came in 2nd. And again, isn't even competing in these Olympics. It's more than double Germany that came in 3rd, and China only won 16 gold medals. And so nearly 3 times what China won in those Olympics. And our overall medal count was more than double China and almost double Germany's. And so our performance thus far, I mean, still kind of early in the games, but it looks like we're not the dominant force in the Olympics that we used to be at this point. Now, maybe we got some track and field events and swimming events and gymnastic events that we're going to do a lot better in, and the medal count's going to shift dramatically in our favor, but not a great start for Team USA here.
Yeah, they're pretty much getting smoked, right? I mean, it's one of the largest teams in it, and they hadn't won. Well, I mean, they've won some, but not like they used to, that's for sure.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what's going on and what the contributing factors are.
Yeah, well, I actually read this. I saw this, and I think it's fake news or fake something. Did you see about the French Olympic diver?
Yeah.
And they have the picture of him in his Speedos, and, I mean, it looks like he's got a cucumber in his pants. According to this French diver is going viral at the Olympics, this not for his diving skills. It's all about the bulge and the Speedos, right? And the fans are going wild online over Jules Boyer sharing pics of himself in his junk cramped Speedo after a dive in Paris. Now, a key angle of Boyer from the side gives fans an up close and personal view of exactly what he's packing. And TMZ says, with JB's hunky good looks and undeniable physical attributes, it's no shocker that Ford models in Paris have him on their books. And this picture has racked up millions of views, and Agatha, you're probably responsible for at least that. What are your thoughts?
Maybe.
There's no way that's a guy's dick. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. But.
Well, I actually, because I have chalked up 1,000 views on social media on this, I am pretty confident that it is, but I think there's something really weird about this picture, and I don't want to get gross, but usually if you're a guy who is particularly well hung and you're forced to wear that kind of a swimsuit, you're usually going head down and to the right or to the left, and you might even need a little wrap, meaning something to hold it in place. I wish I was speaking from personal experience here. This is just knowledge from some other people. But my problem is I think that this guy is erect in this picture. I think he came out of the pool erect, and what we're seeing is the top. If you look from the side.
And that dude's junk. He got blessed when he was born. His daddy left a mark.
So you're not going to do the deep.
Or it's a Coca-Cola can or beer can.
Okay. I think it's him, but I get that you don't want to go on the deep analysis with me. So we'll leave it there. And maybe the mystery will be determined before the end of the Olympic Games.
He'll be doing porn when he retires from swimming.
No, we'll post that pick and have some of you weigh in and let us know what you think on that one.
Yeah.
Now, I told you that I tried to place a bet. I tried to place a bet early this morning on a women's boxing match that I have been keeping my eye on for several days. And it's weird because I kept looking at all of the other matches and the odds were up for those matches and I could go ahead and bet those matches. But for some reason, this match, it wasn't allowing me to bet, and I knew why, because I knew why I was interested in this match. And I was interested in this match because there's a guy, a biological male, Albanian fighter by the name of Amani Khalif, who is allowed, along with one other fighter, a Taiwanese fighter, to fight in the women's boxing at the Olympics. This is freaking crazy.
Yeah, it is.
So this guy is fighting in the 66 kilogram weight class, and he was scheduled this morning at, so this is Thursday as we're taping, this morning at 5:04 a.m. Central Time to go up against an Italian woman named Angela Carini. And so I've been looking and looking and looking and trying to bet that fight because, come on, how can Carini possibly win this fight, right? So I woke up early. I went to multiple apps to try and bet the fight. I couldn't bet the fight. I went to, NBC's got this mixed channel where you've got all these different NBC networks that are covering different sports, hoping NBC would want to show this fight because there'd be a lot of interest in this fight, but I didn't see it anywhere. So NBC wasn't going to put this front and center. So I couldn't watch the fight and I couldn't bet on the fight. But I did have alerts set up on my phone. So I received an alert around 5:30 telling me that Khalif had won. And the only thing it said to describe the fight was ABD, was the just capital A, capital B, capital D. That's all it said. And, I know TKO and KO and DNF, some of those that are used to describe fights, but I'd never seen ABD. So a few minutes later, I found out that ABD stands for abandonment.
But
so
the girl didn't fight. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's throwing in the towel. It's somebody saying it's like no mas when who was the Roberto Duran did the no mas.
Right.
I forget who he was in that fight. So apparently Carini tried to fight for 46 seconds. She fought and then said, come on, this is crazy. And she in her corner walked off. I mean, what a joke.
I know. What the fuck? I don't care how you identify and shit like that. I just don't think a man should be able to get in a female boxing match. I don't get it. Yeah. I wouldn't watch that shit if you paid me to watch it. It's just stupid.
Look, I think in these non-contact sports where it's going on, it's bad enough. Male, biological men swimming in competition against, other NCAA female athletes and playing in volleyball and stuff like that. But when it comes to an actual fighting sport, it's crazy. And it's crazy that the International Olympic Committee is allowing this. And they actually overturned. So this fighter, Khalif, and another fighter, a Taiwanese fighter by the name of Lin Yu Ting, were both disqualified at the World Championships back in March. And then they filed, or Algeria anyway, the Algerian Olympic Committee, filed a protest. And they somehow prevailed. And both of these fighters were allowed to participate in the Olympics in women's boxing. And so tomorrow, Yu Ting goes up against another fighter that's in a lighter weight class. I think it's a 53-kilogram weight class. But, if this is on the up and up Olympics and everything else, and you're allowed to bet on the games, why won't they let me bet on the? Yeah. Why am I not allowed to bet on this fight?
Because Vegas is not stupid. I mean, I don't get it. That might as well just call it whatever gender sports instead of having men's and women's. I don't know. I don't get it.
It is crazy. Well, so, Woody, the Olympic Games has presented you with an opportunity to do a little Woody Does Gossip, because there's some action going on there on the women's gymnastics team.
All right. And you're right. So let me tell you about it. So USA gymnasts, Simone Biles, Sunny Lee, Jordan Childs, and Jay Carey won Olympic gold. They kicked ass on Tuesday, right? And the gold medal was redemption for Biles on a number of levels, considering that she went that twisty shit that you told me about last time in the 2020 games. But before Biles, contemplate what the victory truly meant, she had a response for a certain critic, and that one that had actually been a former teammate of hers. And after the victory, Simone Biles turned to her Instagram, posted a picture of the newly crowned champions along with a brutal caption: "Lack of talent, lazy Olympic champions." That's what the post read. Now, that caption is a direct dig at a former Team USA gymnast,
Michaela
Skinner, who criticized the team's character and work ethic in a now deleted YouTube video in the days before you know, these games open. And Skinner said, besides Simone, I feel like talent and the depth just isn't like what it used to be. The girls just don't have the work ethic. You know, Biles and other gymnasts, including Childs, Lee, and Carrie, all blocked Skinner on social media after a comment. See, Mike, you need to just block those people. Don't respond. So, Skinner later apologized for a comment saying it was not my intention to offend or disrespect any of the athletes or to take away from their hard work. Well, calling bullshit on that. Skinner finished her apology by wishing the gymnast luck in Paris and that she would be cheering you all on. A number of people left comments on the post. Some of them recognized who its intended target was. Never a doubt, wrote American Olympic skiing sensation Michaela Schifrin. F around and find out, wrote Biles' husband and Chicago Bears safety Jonathan Owens, who also commented gold medalist. In that F, well, I'm supposed to be fucking, but in that FKN order, lack of talent, all capital, of talent and lazy Olympic champions, wrote another fan. Simone, you're a menace for this caption. Now, Biles and Skinner's both represented Team USA at a number of competitions, including at the 2020 Games. In U.S. women's gymnastic veteran Michaela Maroney has jumped to the fray in the feud between Biles and Skinner. Posted to her Instagram after Tuesday night's performance, Maroney wrote, feels like I need to apologize just to redeem my first name. And seeing as Michaela Skinner is going to have a lot of work to do to get out of the doghouse. I wonder what Mary Lou Redden thinks.
I didn't see her in any of the threads, but there are quite a few other gymnasts from prior teams weighing in. And, you know, look, I think you got to say that Simone Biles is the greatest women's gymnast of all time, greatest American gymnast of all time. And coming back from what she went through 3 years ago to lead the team to a dominant gold medal win and the all around, I mean, all of that is spectacular. The adversity she's overcome, this great mini documentary on Netflix, one of those 4-episode documentaries that tells her story. Her backstory is fascinating, and I didn't know most of what is in there. But I guess, you know, girls will be girls, rivalry from past teams. Maybe Skinner is angry that Biles, you know, had to leave the games in 2020 and blame some of that on her. Who knows? But she shot low and she got stepped on by these guys. So yeah, that's we'll see if that continues here. But I thought that was pretty juicy for a Woody Does Gossip.
I'm pretty sure she won't get a job commentating on any gymnastic meets, huh? The she's done. Yesterday.
Yeah. She's gonna have a big uphill climb to get back in the good graces of any of them. Hey everybody, it's Ago. Listen up, especially you ladies over 40. I've got some good news. It's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an all-in-one hormonal balancing solution. It relieves symptoms of menopause. It promotes healthy weight loss and curbs cravings. It improves sleep quality. It reduces bloating and gas. It relieves hot flashes. It can even relieve occasional mood swings, although nothing like that has ever happened in my house. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalance should take it, but it's perfect for the horrible menopause symptoms that make you put your life on hold. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and code RLRC at checkout for 15% off today.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD.com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right, good deal.
All right, let's get away from the Olympics for a second, because I saw a story, and as a New Yorker, it really caught me, and I just need to share this. So you followed a little bit this Mayor Adams in New York, Eric Adams, the new mayor, and he's no longer the new mayor, I guess, the mayor in New York, and some of what he's done here in his first couple of years in the mayor's role.
Yeah, I saw some of it, but I mean, he's another asshole.
Well, better than the last asshole. He's a former cop and better than his predecessor, but yes, falling short of expectations, and probably will get voted out of office next time around. But this story I'm about to tell you just blew me away. So New York Mayor Eric Adams has a brilliant idea. He wants to bring the Rat Pack back. No, he's not trying to find the next Old Blue Eyes or Sammy Davis Jr. He's looking for a different kind of Rat Pack. He's asking for volunteers to join a, quote, elite squad of dedicated anti-rat activists, named after the group of iconic 1950s A-listers. And the good mayor knows that if you want to attract talent, you've got to dangle some carrots. So the mayor announced that those who sign up for the New York City Rat Pack will be rewarded with flashy swag. That's right. T-shirts, hats, the whole works, with an awesome new rodent logo. So he is going to inspire New Yorkers to join his plan to get rid of the rats, and he's motivating them with T-shirts and hats. Adams announced his big plan and its big rewards at a community cleanup in Brooklyn over the weekend, and he's hired a rat czar to lead the program. Being a part of the Rat Pack involves a three-step process to become deputized. So here's what you've got to go through. If you're inspired by the chance to get a T-shirt and a hat and want to help clean up the rat problem in New York City, here's what you've got to go through from a training standpoint. So first, you have to attend a Department of Health Rat Academy, which will teach you safe and effective rat prevention methods. Then you have to participate in a rat walk, which will detail the places that rodents live in the city. So you'll go through the sewers. You'll take a night walk down by the where the fishing boats come in at the seaport. And so you'll go to the areas with the worst rat problems. And obviously, those are two of the primary areas. And then finally, you have to host your own event that supports clean and rat-free conditions. So in order to become eligible to be part of Mayor Adams' Rat Pack, you've got to do those three things. Ashley Byrne, who's the director of a New York City animal rights group, says she's pleased that the program appears to be focused on non-lethal and humane preventative measures, such as these neighborhood cleanups. We are absolutely in favor of that because it's prevention instead of slaughter that will be a solution to the concerns that New Yorkers have of the rats. However, I will say this. We do wish the mayor would stop demonizing rats and instead would take aim at the disgusting people who throw trash onto the city streets and subway tracks. Okay.
The Those people need to get a fucking hobby. Anybody that joins this group for a t-shirt and whatever and goes through all that bullshit, then they need to find something else to do with their time. I mean, rats are going to live in the cities. They always have and always will. I mean, do whatever. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, who the fuck comes up with this idea? And they're getting paid to do it, evidently.
It sounds like something that someone running for, you know, junior high president put, you know, we're going to clean the playground at the school. That's my major campaign platform is we got to make the playground clean. Everybody come Saturday and you'll get a t-shirt and a hat for joining us for the cleanup of the playground. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Eradicating rats.
I hope some of them get bit. No, I don't, man. Not really, but.
I have an alternate idea. So tell me if you believe this would be at all feasible, even though there are all kinds of crazy gun laws in New York for a 48-hour period. And maybe this is a 48-hour period once a quarter or something. And it's restricted to a certain set of hours. And if you are not a participant in this, you are advised to stay home and inside.
Right.
And we just let all the people with the guns go out and just shoot the shit out of the rats.
Yep. When I was coming up, mostly agriculture, the area I was having, and my buddy, they had a dairy and they, you know, raised their own corn and shit. And they had these big silos where they store the corn in, and we would sit there and drink beer. And with 22 rifle, and the rats run back and forth, and we'd kill like 50 or 60 rats until we ran out of beer. That might work. But then you have, you know, the Humane Society saying you're being hard on rats. Big ass dirt.
It's an invasive species. I don't know what is the redeeming. I mean, they let you in Louisiana, you can shoot nutria, right? You're encouraged to shoot.
They used to pay you to kill them. Yeah. They're destroying the marshes and shit. They eat all the roots out of the marsh grass, and the marsh grass is what slows down hurricanes and stuff like that. It makes it not as bad. I mean, they're destroying it. But they're not beating nutria. It's not bad. I mean, that's a giant rat there. I mean, like, you know, 10 pounder.
Well, these things are doing the same kind of stuff. It's, you know, chewing through PVC, chewing through probably not plumbing, but but they'll get into anything and they'll chew through anything and causing, especially with these older buildings, all kinds of problems. So, well, it made me, when I saw the story, it made me think of a movie that, like, when I think of movies as a kid that scared me the most, this is like at the top of my list. A movie called Willard. Did you ever see Willard?
Yeah. Isn't that the one where he trained all the pets?
Yeah. He trained all these pet rats. And then in the end, they turn on him and kill him. And so the New York rat story reminded me of Willard. And I just want you to know that if I should die because I've been attacked by an angry mob of rats that eat my face, there's three people I need you to call.
Yeah, well, let me guess. They work underneath us. Mongus, American flag in Broussard, Louisiana, and it's Roy, Kristen.
Right you are, Woody Overton. If I need to look good for my peeps after the rats get to me, nobody does better work than the team at Louisiana Funeral Services and LA Pet Crematory. By the time they're done, I won't have a scratch on me.
Well, folks, when the time comes for you, a loved one, or your fur baby, you know what to do. Go visit our friends, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen, underneath that humongous flag at lafuneralservices.com and lapetcrematory.com. They're good people who will take care of you and or your loved ones.
That's lafuneralservices.com and lapetcrematory.com. Crematory.com. Rest easy.
Hey, you know what? One of the lifers posted in the crew page yesterday a picture of a LA Pet Crematory Van in Alexandria, Louisiana, which is, as you know, probably an hour and a half north of where they're at in Broussard. And they were like, it's catching all the people were coming, the life was coming. Oh, they did my dogs and they did this, you know, talking about their fur babies. And the one guy was like, yeah, they come up here every, I think, Wednesday to pick up from the different veterinarians and, you know, and stuff like that. But one of them even said, rest easy.
So that's awesome. That's awesome.
It's working and they're good people, y'all, good people. So. Well,
I think you've got another crazy Olympic story for us, right?
I do. And it's about 2 weeks of Olympics, right? And I'm actually going to do a full episode on Olympic crimes this weekend on Real Life of Crime. But I don't understand this one, but I'll tell you about it. So as we come to an end to the first week of these Olympics, it's always the stories of the athletes who overcome tremendous adversity, bounce back from serious injuries, and demonstrate extraordinary dedication that capture us emotionally. Now, these life journeys are what makes sports so captivating. But sometimes we learn the different stories with dark realities that unsettle our foundation as sports fans, and this is one. This week, a story has emerged that has many Olympic fans questioning the ethical boundaries of the games. And the story involves Dutch beach volleyball player named Steven Van de Velde. Now, Van de Velde, now 29, is a convicted child rapist who was sentenced to 4 years in jail after pleading guilty to three counts of rape involving a 12-year-old schoolgirl he met on Facebook in 2014. Now, Van de Velde ventured from the Netherlands to the UK at age 19 and raped the young girl he had lured through social media to an address in Milton. Now, Van de Velde was only apprehended because the victim sought the morning after pill, which prompted authorities to investigate due to her age, right? And that age in Louisiana, you get life for that shit. But following his return to the Netherlands, Van de Velde was extradited and arrested in January 2016. And the judge sentenced him to 4 years in prison, though he was allowed to serve a sentence in the Netherlands, where he was sort of released after 1 year. 1 year, folks. In the aftermath of his detention, Van de Velde attempted to distance himself from the labels that had been attached to him, stating, I have been branded as a sex monster, as a pedophile. That I am not. Really not. Well, then why did you plead guilty, asshole? And despite his criminal history, the Dutch Olympic Committee decided there is no reason to exclude Van de Velde from the Games. In a statement, they explained that Van de Velde has been participating in international beach volleyball tournaments since 2018, following an intensive, professionally supervised trajectory. Now, this decision has sparked outrage and disbelief among many and raises significant questions about the integrity of the selection process and the messages it sends to both athletes and fans. And the victim's family must be devastated, knowing that their daughter's rapist is being given a platform for fame and glory, right? While it is important to believe in the possibility of rehabilitation and a second chance for convicted offenders, the role of elite athletes as role models cannot be ignored. Now, allowing Van de Velde to compete undermines the values that sports are supposed to represent. The Dutch Olympic Committee announced that Van de Velde will be barred from media interviews during the games, which is a move that appears to be an attempt to minimize the inevitable backlash. So Van de Velde has chosen a path that catapults him directly into the glare of the international public scrutiny, and the fans in the stands are bound to make themselves heard, as they always do in controversial situations. So it's going to be interesting to see how he's treated. Now, the volleyball venue is very intimate and the fans are right on top of the player. So let's see how creative they get. And he plays Saturday at 1 p.m. against Norway. Right? I can't imagine they're going to meddle in it or anything, but fuck him. It just goes to show you how different the world is when it comes to shit like, you know, sentencing for rapes and stuff like that.
Woody, I don't know if you have an answer. I'm sure you know when it goes state to state, but I don't know about country to country. If somebody agrees, a country like the UK agrees to extradite to the Netherlands. At that point, is it just, it's now up to the Netherlands to do whatever the heck they want to do, even though he was sentenced to 4 years in Britain, they can just decide on their own to release him in a year. Like if a prisoner from Texas is extradited to Louisiana for whatever the reason, is Louisiana now in complete control of all the decisions for that prisoner? Is that the way it works from a state standpoint?
No, not really. I mean, like the only way you get extradited from state to state is if you are being held, you know, you get arrested in another state and the state that you commit the crime in extradites you back, right? And you can try to fight it or whatever, and it never works. But the country stuff, I don't know, man. It's so weird. So weird that, you know, maybe Great Britain or whatever, the UK didn't want to pay to house him. I don't know. But 4 years, the crime happened there. They should protect their citizens, right? And 4 years for rape of a kid like 12 years old, fuck that.
Number one, that sounds like an unbelievably light sentence. But for the Dutch to then let this guy out in a year, a 12-year-old girl in a year,
and then they put him on their
freaking Olympic team.
Olympic team, yeah. Fuck that.
Well, I'm gonna watch that. Hopefully, unlike the boxing, hopefully they'll actually carry that.
Hopefully somebody comes out of bleachers and beats his ass.
Well, hopefully they're at least giving him a very, very hard time and making it difficult for them to win. But lots of exciting stuff going on at the old Olympics.
Hey, because I hadn't been watching, and I might watch tonight. I might want to bet something on it or whatever. But what time is the good shit coming on tonight? Or is it time change too different where it comes on early in the morning?
Well, exactly. Because of the time change, they'll package up the best stuff of the day and replay it for you in their evening coverage.
I can't bet on it.
But that doesn't help. If you're planning on betting and stuff, it doesn't help you. And so you're better off to just go online and search for the day's schedule and then look at what's scheduled and the times and then pick the things that you think you want to bet on. And then in real time, go online and watch them, because most of the stuff is covered live.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bet on it if I can't watch it.
Yeah, you can watch it. You just would have to watch it early. It's not gonna be, you can't watch it late. So I've been watching some stuff online on the computer while I'm doing other things, just to stay with it. But unfortunately, I couldn't find, I was actually surprised. I finally found video of that boxing match, the 46 second match where she abandoned after 46 seconds, but it wasn't on any of the cable channels and I couldn't find it online, but somebody had it. I don't know if that was a personal video. I have to go back and look, but you'll be able to find any kind of a major event. You're going to be able to find. And I know you're going to want to watch that break dancing. So look for that over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, have a safe and good weekend. And it's going to be hot. I got to cut the grass again. Might smoke a brisket, do something like that. Chill out.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about this. You see this storm that's brewing in the path they're talking about.
I didn't see the path part. What I read last night seems like it was going to go off the East Coast, but maybe I missed that.
No, they have it coming into the Gulf. They have it coming into the Gulf, but they think it goes east of Louisiana. So, but it's not going to get here for quite a few days. But that's what they're
hate,
talking about.
Hate for anybody to get it, and it sucks. Wish it would go away. So,
well, batten down the hatches if you're listening and you're in one of those areas. And everybody have a great weekend. We will be back at you on Monday on the WOW.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
Woody.
Peace, everybody.
Aglets.
This NFL season, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get 3 weeks of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. So if you've got a hunch, you can watch it come to life live.
like a vibe hunch.
I don't like the way the quarterback is warming up. I don't like the way the running back is warming up. I definitely don't like the way the punter is warming up.
Put your hunch to the test this season with FanDuel. All customers bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Plus, new customers bet $5 and get 200 in bonus bets guaranteed. 21 plus and present in North Carolina. New customer offer. First online real money wager only. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets expiring 7 days after receipt. See terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. NFL Sunday Ticket offer from YouTube and YouTube TV ends 9/22/24. After 3-week free trial, the full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. YouTube TV base plan required to watch YouTube TV. Redemption requires a Google account and current form of payment.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy and Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.